Looks like you've been cooking on the stove. That'll be a bond deduction.
It's a room of one's own with Auckland renters advocate Celine on 95 BFM.
God, I wish some of these things weren't so accurate, eh? Hey, Celine, how are you?
Hey, I'm good.
Nice to have you on.
Black Ferns and Friday Jams related, so I'm sorry.
Nice. Well, I'm glad you had a good weekend then, by the sounds of it.
I did.
We've got some not-so-good vibes going on from the listeners. This first one's pretty hectic. Someone says, they've texted us to say, I live below my landlord, who's unfortunately a piece of work. We got a text from the property manager, the landlord never speaks to us, saying that there would be some construction workers in over the weekend to do some, quote, light repairs on the landlord's part of the house. But the weekend came and went with no sign of anyone. Then on Monday, boom, turns out they're on full renovating their entire place and it's going to be months and months of noise and disruption. I'm really pissed off about this. Is there anything I can do?
Okay, yeah, this is not an ideal scenario. And it's also not really all right. So what I would point to is this could be a breach of your quiet enjoyment. So that's kind of the wording that's useful to look up on tenancy services.
Mm-hmm.
And basically saying that tenants have the right to the quiet enjoyment of the house they rent. So often if you were having repairs within your house, we've talked before about kind of discussing with your landlord a potential rent reduction for that period of time. There's also similar stuff, especially if it's there, like if it's your neighbour who's having maintenance or construction, that's a little bit harder. But if it's the landlord, that's in their control. So I would look up a few things about quiet enjoyment, kind of breaching a rent, like thinking, broaching a rental reduction. And then I would be talking to your property manager about that and the landlord, because I think you could really argue for a reduction in rent during that period of time, given it's really within their control, and if it's right in your vicinity, that's going to be impacting you the whole time.
Mm-hmm.
So you've kind of, there's not specific guidelines on how to do that, but that's definitely something that you should be following up.
Yeah, that sucks. I'm sorry to that person. That is a crap situation, but yeah, hopefully you can get something out of it at least, because that's not what you signed up for.
No, maybe if you talk to the people doing the construction, and you may have already, that may be how you know that it's going to be months.
Mm.
Use that information to help, given that you'll then know what the scenario is you're dealing with, that might help.
Yeah, totally. What else have we got here, Zoe?
Okay, this person says, the flat I live in is not at all Healthy Homes compliant and my landlord is still dragging their feet on doing anything about it. Winter was absolute hell and the recent rain has been awful for us. I heard one solution could be paying rent to a third party, for example, the tenancy tribunal, and then the landlord can take money out of that to do repairs? Question mark. No one I know has done that though.
I've never heard of that. That's interesting.
No. I can imagine something like that happening, but I feel like as an endpoint, within kind of some kind of, you've already had a tribunal case or that's been the solution put forward. So I don't think you can suggest that. You kind of need to go through the normal channels first. So Healthy Homes is one of those places in which there are a few exceptions. For example, like I'm in a historic building, which means they can't put a like a heat pump on the outside of the building. So there's a few things that can be exemptions, mm-hmm. but I doubt that's what you're dealing with. So I would really, again, kind of look on tenancy services and work your way through that Healthy Homes compliance stuff so you really know where they're not kind of fulfilling the law, and make sure you're kind of all up with that. And then I would follow up. So that's one of the places where they can really be fined. So as soon as they know that you're aware it's not compliant and they're meant to be, you can issue a notice to remedy, which gives them 14 days to kind of start to get things going. And if they don't appear to be complying by that point, then you're really applying to the tenancy tribunal. So it is something you should do, especially with the rain being an issue, they really need to be doing something about it.
Mm-hmm.
So I would be going to the tenancy tribunal and then they will it's kind of they'll be following up, and whether it ends up being that your rent goes to them and then the landlord's forced to do repairs that way, or they're fined, not sure what they would do, but it would be some kind of arrangement like that, I would think.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah, so definitely get onto that. You don't want another winter in a place like that.
No. God, isn't it bleak when it's pretty normal to know about someone whose house is raining on them? That is a problem.
Yeah, that's not a great sign.
We've got another text from someone here. This one's a tricky one about, people stuff. Someone said, I've moved into a new place recently and the flatmates are all good, but I have discovered since moving in that they have... quite a heavy substance consuming pattern, which is making me feel quite uncomfortable. They've put brackets illegal vibes. should I just move out? I've literally only been here a month.
Okay, yeah, this is one of those things that I was in a webinar the other evening with Renters United that's still on their Facebook page, I think, and we had a few different researchers and people talking about their work in terms of housing, and it was really interesting. Brody Fraser's doing really incredible work, and so much of it is that we don't really talk about flatting dynamics as part of housing insecurity, and this is a tricky situation because there's kind of nothing that housing related advocacy does to help in any way, so you're kind of left on your own, unless you have an issue with a flatmate and then you go to the disputes tribunal. So it's really kind of in your own hands. So I think just generally talking to your friends and family and kind of making decisions about what you feel comfortable with, where you want to be living, if you can have any support to move again if you'd be more comfortable. I don't really have any good advice other than get some advice from people close to you and think about what kind of where you want to be living and where you feel secure and supported. But it is a real drag, but where you live is important, so kind of it's up to you. If you can afford to move again or get some support to move again, then it could be worth it.
Yeah, toughing it out is not a lot of fun, so don't.
No, it's never usually worth it, I would say.
Yeah, I reckon. It's tricky, though. It is expensive to move. There's all those little secret costs you discover as you shuffle your things around from flat to flat. Thank you, though,
100%.
Celine.
No problem.
Some excellent advice, as always. And as always, we'll stick some very useful resources up in the podcast after the show with renters, advocacy pages, and more information for you. And we'll talk to you in a fortnight. Cheers for that.
See you soon.
A plague on both your investment houses. That was A Room of One's Own with Auckland renters advocate, Celine.